It's the Pirates Week for the 3rd of February, 2008.
This is the Pirates Week.
PFCC shows what we hear and see on radio and on TV. FCC, F U.
Shoot some more fire to your treetop wire.
Why can't I do pirate radio again? I mean, why can't I just turn on transmitters when I want?
Won't you just warm my wiener? Cause you really don't feel right cold.
Join us on the airwaves.
You're pirates. You're all a bunch of pirates.
Surf the skies and find new friends.
We will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard. We will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard.
Well, I am Ragnar Danisjold, and this is the Pirates Week, and we have a pretty thin show for you this week. No real news stories to speak of, but we will be going through relevant forum postings on the internet, including the Free Radio Network and note stations logged per the Free Radio Weekly. We do have two or three off-air recordings recorded this last week for you. The 30-day expanded propagation forecast from This Week in Amateur Radio, a SWL Winterfest update, a few closing thoughts for me, and, well, if we got time, we'll maybe throw another radio-related song on the end of it. So stay tuned. It's another Pirates Week.
Almost live from the Fooking Ionosphere, it's the Pirates Week with Ragnar Danisjold.
So, how's everybody doing this week? Had a pretty productive week this week, last week. Doing a lot of listening. There's been a lot of activity on the shortwave pirate bands. Got a bunch of loggings and some off-air recordings. We'll be getting into that a little bit later in the podcast. I have been updating the websites, rfprograms.com. If you haven't been by there in the last week or so, you'll see a major overhaul. Also, the homepage to the podcast, www.piratesweek.info, that got upgraded also. Take a look at it if you haven't been there in a week. It's not completely done, still got some add-ons and some tweaks to do, but the basic redesign is all there. Take a look. A lot of stuff to nose through, and we'll still be adding on to that. I may actually be putting together a personal blog, too, that's not completely radio-related. I'm sure there'll be quite a bit of radio stuff on the personal blog, but that's upcoming, and probably next week I'm going to start doing that if you really want to know what I do on a day-to-day basis, which is actually pretty boring. What else? Hey, wanted to give a Cupsville heads up. I don't think I'm going this year. Been the last 2 years in a row there to the SWL, the Shortwave Listening Fest in Cupsville, Pennsylvania. Maybe next year, but not going this year. Just not into it this year for some reason. I don't know. Oh, what else? Last week I started to talk about the Pirates Week maybe going on hiatus. It's not going to. Looks like I'm going to be able to continue going on with the podcast. Had a bit of a health scare over the last 2 weeks and wasn't sure if I was facing some surgery and facing some maybe some hospitalization, but looks like I'm getting past that, and I will continue to do the podcast on a weekly basis. So you're not getting rid of me yet. Still going to be here and putting out the weekly show. What else? Anything else I can think of, I'll put at the end of the podcast. Well, I do have one news story. I'm not going to play the intro for the Pirates in the News because it's really not that relevant to us here in North America, but there has been some action in India, of all places, against some pirate radio plays. Well, just take a listen to this. This is from This Week in Amateur Radio.
India's West Bengal police have cracked down on 6 unauthorized radio stations with the help of some local hams. Acting on information from unnamed amateur radio operators, officers from the Sagar police station raided the pirates on January 11th. Four people were arrested, and all of the station equipment was dismantled. Beginning a year ago, amateur radio operators in India had warned the government monitoring station about unauthorized radio stations.
Breaking the law, breaking the law, oh, oh, breaking the law. Breaking the law, breaking the law.
The FRN Forum postings.
Well, with that, it's time now to take a look around the interweb to find some relevant postings on pirate radio and some forum boards, starting off like we always do with the free radio network, www.frn.net/vines. I.O. Snopes starts us off this week, posting that he's seeing spectacular sporadic E on 11 meters. Back on January 28th, lots of sporadic E on 11 meters, but he's also been watching television stations from cities 150 miles away or so. Lots of sporadic E skip. Peter Gizninya posted a news story about a fire in the studios of 91.7 FM, The Coop. Seems it was a disgruntled DJ that was unhappy about the changes to his playlist. Nothing 40 posted a link to an interesting article on DX balloons. That's transmitters and antennas being lifted and sent aloft by balloons. Very interesting project. I've also wanted to do a balloon lifted antenna. I've been wanting to do that for a couple years. But this is an interesting project, putting a little transmitter and an antenna on a balloon and letting it go. Pretty cool. Over in the workshop forum, Rockin' Rick replies to the ongoing discussion of using the Linux platform for radio software. Rick says that the Ubuntu package manager includes a whole pile of amateur radio programs. Gristle adds that he noticed a few programs, i.e. Clog for logging, and GPSK31, GMSFK, and GNOME. I think the GNOME predic is for signal propagation. He also notes the PSK31 program looks kind of fun. And over in the LPFM section, Radio Brandy posted a link to a review that they did on the EDM LCD FM transmitter. He's posted several pics of it also. Steve of Radio Brandy adds that after testing the EDM, it would be really hard to justify paying what he believes is Ramsey Electronics' inflated price. Over in Alt Radio Pirate, there has been an ongoing thread on the Chinese FM transmitters found on eBay. Bob notes that the unit is based on the BA1415 and has a microprocessor subboard which loads data into a PLL chip and drives the display. The output power varies from 6.1 watts at 88 megahertz to 4.9 watts at 108 megahertz, so it definitely achieves the claimed 5 watts. He says that spectral purity isn't bad, secondary harmonics at negative 65 dBc, and adjacent spurs are negative 53 dBc at worst. Stereo separation is what you'd expect of a single chip coder and exciter. It's around 30 dB. You can run the thing up to 15 volts and get over 7 watts at most frequencies, but it'll run very hot, so you'll probably want to put a fan on it. It's also noted that the seller on eBay is selling them cheaply, but marks it up on the shipping costs, so take a very close look at the shipping costs on those eBay transmitters, those FM transmitters sold by the Chinese on eBay. And from the Free Radio Weekly, number 625, covering free radio activity from January 26th to February 2nd, 2008, the stations being heard lately include Artificial Intelligence Radio, Captain Morgan, Liquid Radio, Long Range Radio, Mac Shortwave, Puxatani Pothead Radio, Real Pirate Radio, Sicko Radio, or is that Psycho? WBNY, WFUQ, and Wolverine Radio. And it's also noted on the Free Radio Weekly, they're asking, does anybody have addresses or contact information for Artificial Intelligence Radio or Sicko Radio? If you happen to know those two, Either post it in the comments on my blog or put it on the Free Radio Network. Those contact info for those two stations. And QSLs being received this last week include from the stations of Channel Z Radio. The third anniversary QSL was sent out to Sea Lord and Zane Radio.
You know the weird guy in the corner of the office who always has his headphones on? That's you!
Well, it's time now to do some off-air recordings. We got three of them for you this week. Going to try to keep them, a little shorter. About a minute, minute and a half or so. First one up, Maple Leaf Radio, 6925 Upper Sideband, on the 17th of January, 1716, 1730. Had a good SIO of 444. This is Maple Leaf Radio signing on air. Next off-air recording is Punxsutawney Pothead Radio, 6925 Upper Sideband, the 1st of February, around 2130. SIO 444, Punxsutawney Pothead Radio is a seasonal radio station, comes on once a year or so, right around Groundhog's Day. He's been on air for the last day or two, heard him several times. This is the first time this weekend I heard him. He was playing some heavy metal and talking about the screwed-up world that we all live in, and then telling everyone to go to Winterfest in Culpsville. This is the Punxsutawney Pothead Radio Station.
I keep it going. Like, the thing my girlfriend is and my wife is.
You guys better be quiet.
And don't make too much noise.
Anyway,
we can play more orange so you can hear the rest of the show. But no.
Me and my girlfriend, we got to get pretty busy right now. So,
here for your 5 minutes. That's all I need.
Oh, God, help us all. Anyway, this concludes the broadcast of Punxsutawney Pothead.
Yeah, that's me, Punxsutawney Pothead.
You've been tuned
to Punxsutawney Pothead Radio.
So, you like to see us all this station.
Send a detailed reception report
to P.O. Box 1, Dolphin.
P.S.
14711, I think that's what it is.
I'm trying to look.
Go over the station log notes here.
And they're all right. I guess it means they weren't filled anything in.
So we have no record of this.
We're getting the Pirate Frequency Coordinating Committee.
Or is it PF?
CC?
I don't know what the hell they do.
They're just a bunch of guys who just sit around,
smoke pot, and drink beer, and...
Oh, you're allowed to go on this way, girl.
No, there's no such thing.
Don't even bother for a minute. How could you...
I don't believe something simple as that. I could at one time.
I don't even know it, so.
Well, it's been real here. It's been a lot of fun. So I'm glad to come back again this year.
Me and the bunny,
thank you, sir.
And
give me a salute.
You know, whatever that fellow it is. And I just want to say, all I want to do is breathe like a rabbit.
Yeah, that's right.
I want to breathe like a rabbit. This is the Punxsutawney Pilot. And I'm signing off here. Yes, I am. I am signing off for 2006. Go see the next show, you chicken squad. Listen here, and don't forget, please go to Punxsutawney. The show will win a fest. We'll see you. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
And the last off-air recording I have for you this weekend, well, I believe it was the voice of Mike Gawkin. In fact, I heard several references to Mike Gawkin. This was 6935 Upper Side Band, the 2nd of February, around 1930 to 2020, SIO 443. Good, solid S7. Playing some Doors and some Black Sabbath, AC/DC, Pink Floyd. And after that, it went directly into the voice of the Runaway Maharishi. And then after that, it went directly into, I forget, but it was a string of broadcasts. This was, I believe it was the voice of Mike Gawkin.
Six-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face and the blackest eyes.
Say, my dog on the mistake of the lake.
I saw it six times.
Why, we from the big thing up at the sun, and there's a way you listen here.
Eric, dear, I just got a call from your friend Kyle's mother. She said that this show is naughty and might make you a potty mouse.
That's a bunch of crap. Kyle's mom is a dirty Jew.
Oh, okay, hon.
I can't believe that son of a bitch.
Here, Carmen, have some snacky cake.
Bloody hell! Five and six. Your awareness of time and space also becomes confused.
The Pirates Week Podcast, your home for shortwave pirate information. PiratesWeek.info. That's PiratesWeek.info.
Does anyone around here still have a radio?
Well, it's time now for the propagation forecast. It's the extended 30-day propagation forecast from Steve Nichols. This from This Week in Amateur Radio.
Hi, this is Steve Nichols, G0KYA, with the HF propagation report for early February 2008. Well, it's good news and bad news this month. The good news is that a sunspot has been spotted with reverse polarity, which means that the new cycle has started. That's a high-latitude sunspot with reverse polarity as opposed to a sunspot nearer the sun's equator. Now, the scientists tell us this is a good sign that the new cycle is about to start. So that's the good news. The bad news is, as well, really don't expect an awful lot of change for quite a long time, quite frankly. I really don't think we're going to see an awful lot of difference until the latter half of this year, maybe September, October, November, December, if in fact this is the start of the new cycle. So solar flux levels are going to remain very, very low indeed over the next month or so. And we'll be looking at solar flux numbers of around about 70 to 80, somewhere sort of mid-range. So not really good news. But then the good news is, with these low sunspot numbers, we're going to have fairly low geomagnetic disturbances. The A and K indices are going to be quite low, which is going to be good news for the low bands. So let's have a look at what it means. Well, the bad news is that the low solar flux levels for the next few months means that we're not going to see any major F2 layer openings on the higher HF bands, notably 24 and 28 megahertz. In fact, I think you'll find that 18 megs and 21 megahertz may struggle to open at all on a regular basis too. I was just having a listen to 15 meters and I couldn't hear anything at all. So openings, if they do occur on these higher bands, are likely to be infrequent and pretty unreliable. So once again, I always say this, 20 meters, 40 megahertz is going to be the band of choice if you want to work DX over the next couple of months or so. We are in that sort of period between midwinter and the beginning of spring. So really conditions are still winter-like, which is characterized by the higher bands closing shortly after dusk. But the low bands, that's 3.5 megs, 7 megs, come into their own during this period of time. Conditions not going to be quite as good as they were maybe 2 months ago, but still not bad. So let's have a look. The winter nighttime DX conditions on these low bands, as I said, like to be very, very good at this point of the cycle. In 2007, the low bands were great, offering DX throughout the night, and that's continuing this year, I have to say. And even DX after sunrise, if you catch the band at the right point, and this should continue. Now, the best DX on the higher bands is likely to be when the geomagnetic A and K indices have been low for a number of days. So look for a period where the A index has been below 10 or the K index below 2. That will indicate that we've got quiet geomagnetic conditions. As well as the other bands, then 10 megahertz, 30 meters is a band that's midway between 40 meters and 20 meters. And experience shows that on the whole, it more closely follows the behavior of 40 meters. So, you know, do keep an eye open on 30 meters. It, too, is likely to close after sunset, at least for a little bit longer anyway. So let's have a look at the rest of the bands, band by band. Well, as I said, this is the time when the low bands, 160 metres, 80, 75 metres and 40 metres come into their own. And generally, winter is a pretty good time for east-west paths on HF2. On 160 metres, that's 1.8 megs or top band, solar absorption is going to prevent skip during the daylight hours. And you should be able to work other US stations out about 50 to 80 miles via ground wave during the day. The band will open around sunset with openings up to around 1,300 miles should be possible, with frequent openings up to 2,300 miles. DX openings to the east should be possible around midnight and to the west just before your sunrise for well-equipped stations, but you do need a damn good aerial. On 80 metres, that's 3.5 megs, expect a similar pattern to top band, with DX openings at night, with peaks at midnight and around sunrise, those so-called grey line openings. And openings around the US and out to around 500 miles should be possible during the day, and between 750 to 2,300 miles at night. SSB is obviously popular on 80 meters, especially in the DX zone towards the top of the band, and a low horizontal antenna is going to be probably the most useful for NVIS or near vertical instant skywave signals. If you want to work DX on 80, you're going to have to either get your antenna a long way up in the air, or you're going to have to go for a vertical. So there's a couple of tips there. 40 metres, 7 megs is another great DX band at this time of year, and 40 metres should open to DX in an easterly direction during late afternoon and towards the south at sunset. And paths during the afternoon should be reasonably good as you head towards the sunset period. You don't need to have complete dusk or darkness for 40 metres to be opening. Relatively local contacts may be possible during the day, although the lower critical frequencies may mean that it's quite difficult to work other sort of local American stations, while perfectly possible to talk to maybe South America. Now, 20 metres, 14 megs is likely to provide great DX openings during the hours of daylight, and peak conditions will be a couple of hours after sunrise for paths to the east, and a couple of hours before sunset for paths to the west. Been hearing an awful lot of American stations on the 20 metres the last few days. Very, very strong signals on 14.178. There's a group somewhere in the New York area that meet on 178, and they've been very, very loud in the UK. And I've heard stations as far west as Oklahoma before the band shuts, just around about sunset here. Occasional openings towards South America may be possible just on nightfall, but as I said, 20 metres is likely to close fairly early on as the sun sets. Now, 70 metres, 15 metres, as I said earlier, that's 18 megs, 21 megs. Should provide fairly good DX openings during daylight hours sometimes, although 15 metres may struggle to open at all on some days. So the period from about noon to late afternoon may be best, but both bands are likely to close as you get towards sunset and remain totally closed until time after. Now, 12 metres and 10 metres, really sad bands this point of the solar cycle, but virtually very, very disappointing, quite frankly, for DX. You never know if the solar flux heads towards the high 80s, 90s, something might occur. And there will be days when there are openings on 10 metres. They're just going to be very, very sort of uncommon, if you like. We're not really in the sporadic E season, so I'm not expecting miracles really on 10 metres at all. So that's really the propagation prediction for the next month on each of the HF bands. Now, what can you work? Let's see, what sort of a DX operations are going to be happening in February? Well, T88 in Palo, I think that's how you pronounce it, is going to be activated from February the 1st to February the 3rd. We've got Turks and Caicos as well. VP5 is going to be activated in early February, as is Bangladesh S21XJ. There's another one worth looking at. Guinea-Bissau in Africa, which has just seen a major de-expedition, is also going to be activated by J5UAP. And also Senegal is going to be activated as well. 6W2SC will be around sometime from February 2nd onwards. And Cocos Island as well is going to be activated from the 4th of February to the 16th of February, so don't miss that one. And all those details can be found on a number of websites, but the one I'm using today is www.ng3k.com, and he's got a great listing of DX material on there. If you're into RITI, don't miss the CQ Worldwide RITI WPX contest, which is February the 9th and 10th. Always good fun there if you're into that mode. And the ARRL International DX Contest, February 16th, 17th, will be on as well. That's CW. And the CQ 160 meter CW contest also towards the end of February, February 23rd, 24th. So that's it for the propagation prediction report for, as I said, early February. This is Steve Nichols, G0KYA, wishing you good DX.
I do have another radio-related news story. In fact, this is an interview done by Richard Cuff about the upcoming Shortwave Listening Fest in Culpsville. This is off the DX Party Line, HCJB's DX Party Line. This is just kind of a brief overview of the Shortwave Listening Fest, and worth noting here, because if you've never been, you probably should go. It's not just about shortwave listening. Well, it's mostly about shortwave listening, but if one were to know such things, there is a large contingent of people that may or may not be broadcasting and listening on, oh, some frequencies like 6925, 6950, 6955. Yeah, a lot of those people show up to this, and it's a hell of a fun time. Like I said earlier in the podcast, I'm not going this year. Wish I was, but I'll probably go next year. Can't go every year. It's just a little bit too much of a strain on the budget and time and other. Anyways, take a listen to this interview with Richard Cuff, the co-festmeister of the SWL Winterfest.
On today's DX Party Line, we're here with our annual phone call to the festmeisters. With us on the phone today on the DX Party Line is Rich Cuff, joining us from Eastern Pennsylvania. Rich, welcome back once again to the DX Party Line.
Thanks, Alan. Glad to have the chance to chat with you again.
So the SWL Fest is just a little over a month away. Tell us about it, please.
Well, this coming fest is the 21st annual edition of really what started off as a gathering of DXers and other shortwave radio hobbyists that used to meet every Sunday morning on the 7240 kilohertz SWL net in the eastern U.S. These guys had also regularly participated in ANR conventions back in the 1980s and felt that it would be nice to have some sort of a wintertime gathering that would then be seasonally opposite the ANR conventions, which normally happen during the summer. And that really was the inspiration for the creation of the fest. And despite all the changes and transformations in shortwave listening for these years, the fest manages to continue. I and my colleague John Figliozzi have been running the fests since number 13. Still kind of working with the guidance and the inspiration of the original Gang of Three Fest co-founders. So we're looking forward to yet another edition of the gathering.
And Rich, having participated in several of the fests, I also know you have a great group of volunteers that come around you and John to help make that happen. And exactly when is it going to happen this year?
This fest will be Friday, March 7th and Saturday, March 8th. That's when the forum sessions and the banquet will be held. Many folks actually tend to arrive a day, maybe even 2 days in advance, really just for a chance to have some almost like a family reunion time, where they just get together to talk about radio and what's gone on in the past year. We normally begin the fest preparations on site on the Thursday before, which would be March 6th. That's when we open up a room to provide hospitality and just a place for people to gather with some beverages, the liquid type, not the antenna type, and some munchies to chew on. So the official fest, though, is Friday and Saturday, March 7th and 8th.
Rich, for someone who maybe has never participated before in the fest, why should they do that this year in 2008?
The fest really provides an opportunity to take an activity that really tends to be a solitary activity, something that one tends to enjoy by themselves, that being shortwave radio listening and the radio hobby in general. And oftentimes it's a hobby that one enjoys in an environment where nobody around understands it or appreciates some of the nuances that those of us who love shortwave enjoy about it. And it provides an opportunity, really, to get together with 150 or so people that share one's passion for radio, radio history, the techniques of the craft. We provide an opportunity really just for folks to gather and share their own experiences. We also have a series of sessions that we call forums that provide almost a lecture and Q&A environment where such things as scanning, radio history, items like pirates and unlicensed broadcasting, the possibilities of Digital Radio Mondial, DRM, even such adjacent technologies as how Linux software on computers can help a shortwave listener in their craft.
You've had some fascinating topics in these forums and in the workshops over the last couple of years, especially in the ones where I visited personally. Rich, if someone wanted more information, where can they get that, please?
Best way to find out more about the fest, if one has internet access, is to visit the website that's maintained for the fest. It's swlfest.com, swlfest.com. There provides basic information about the fest as well as a series of links to other places that provide updated information on the forums and technical sessions. There's also a registration form that one can download there to sign up for the fest, and also information on making hotel reservations where the fest is held. So that's swlfest.com. People that don't have access to the internet can send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Winter SWL Fest, Post Office Box 4153, Clifton, C-L-I-F-T-O-N, Park, P-A-R-K, New York, 12065 in the USA. And we can send them back a registration form as well as some of the basic descriptive information.
Well, that's going to wrap up the program this week. Looks like we went a minute or two long. Hey, if you want to get a hold of me, you can email me at piratesweek@gmail.com. Stop on by the homepage for the podcast, www.piratesweek.info. So until next time, hey, as always, thanks for listening.
From the Boat Anchor Soft Glow to your MP3 player via the World Wide Web, we meld the oldest and the newest audio technology. Welcome to the Pirates Week.
That's piratesweek.info.
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.